What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
End of the week here. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air. A couple of quick program notes. Tomorrow in our third hour, our guest will be Charlie Robinson. He's got a new book out called The Octopus of Global Control, which is basically talking about this rush toward a new world order. And this long-standing plan to end private property ownership by us serfs. In other words, neo-feudalism, a return to serfdom under the gentle guiding hands of the world's elite. And it's 20 years from now, it's going to look like we're living in Game of Thrones, I guess is the plan, or something like that. All right, let's get into the news here. Obviously, the big news right now, it looks like the attempt to repeal Obamacare is pretty much over and done with. As you know, they were going to put a hold on the vote because John McCain is in the hospital from his serious surgery the other day, but apparently two more GOP senators, Mike Lee of Utah and Jerry Moran of Kansas, basically said they had to withdraw their votes as well. So there's no way that it was going to pass. And as a result, Mitch McConnell has basically scrapped the Senate health care bill. And so we're back to status quo ante. Obamacare is still the law of the land. And the fingers are being pointed all over. Chuck Schumer's out there screaming that Trump is trying to destroy Obamacare. Well, maybe it ought to be. I mean, look how much harm it's caused with these sky-high premiums for health insurance companies and sky-high deductibles so you never get to use those policies. This was a giveaway to the health insurance industries, plain and simple. And have you noticed of late, the more the government tinkers with your life, the worse things get. And that is definitely a symptom of living in a fascist regime here. Now, as you know, there's been yet another arcanicide. This one, of course, Klaus Eberwein. And again, he was just a week away from testifying regarding the corruption of the Clinton Foundation down in Haiti. And he was going to testify about how the foundation basically just spent a single-digit percent of the money they collected on behalf of Haiti on Haiti. And the rest just sort of disappeared into administrative fees. And he'd spoken out before during the actual campaign. He had a press conference. Eberwein had run Haiti's Economic Development Agency from 2012 to 2015. And apparently he's been shot in the head, and it's ruled a suicide because, of course, anybody who dies anywhere around the Clintons, by default, it is a suicide. Now, more of the Obama officials are facing investigation in this unmasking probe, and apparently the unmasking goes beyond key officials like Susan Rice, who apparently she may be in some legal trouble. CIA Director John Brennan, and former Ambassador to the UN Samantha Power. And the source told Fox News that more than a half dozen former senior Obama administration officials are now of interest to House committee investigators. And notice how the corporate media is still obsessed about Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. Now, author Max Blumenthal has gone public saying he's very skeptical of this whole Russia-Trump narrative, and he made a cute comment saying Rachel Maddow's dots may never connect. And again, as we reported yesterday, polls are showing people are turning away from this. The number of Americans who believe this Trump-Russia nonsense is down by half since April. It's losing ground. People are just getting tired of hearing it because that's almost all the corporate TV news media is shouting about these days. Trump and Russia, Russia and Trump. And we're hearing all these other things going on in the background about all these other scandals, and the corporate media's attitude is, we're not interested in them. You shouldn't be interested in them. We will tell you what you should be upset and angry about. And they're not getting much success along that. But in the end, what Donald Trump Jr. did was not illegal. It isn't even unusual in the world of politics and business. but it looks like he got baited on into this thing so that they could make a big deal about it to keep on selling this idea that Russia somehow stole the election for Donald Trump. And remember, the inside sources are saying the Hillary campaign came up with that in the first 24 hours after Hillary realized she had lost to Donald Trump. And she was still in tantrum mode and, you know, beating up John Podesta and hurling ashtrays at the wall or whatever else it is. And she said, we'll tell them Russia stole the election. They'll tear Trump out. They'll put me in. Hasn't happened. This is July, by the way. And again, we need to get on back to an issue that Oliver Stone did raise on the Letterman show. Everyone's talking about Russia interfering with our internal politics. What about Israel? Israel is so entrenched in American politics, they even have institutions right here on our soil, such as AIPAC, and all these other think tanks, and all these other pro-Israel organizations and lobbying groups. Even if Russia is tinkering with our internal politics, it's microscopic compared to what Israel's been doing, and nobody wants to make a big deal about that. Oh, we can never question Israel's influence over our politics. They'll call us an anti-Semite, and I'll have to cry. All right, we're going to do a quick shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, this story about Donald Trump Jr. in this meeting continues to get murkier and murkier because the Russian translator at this meeting worked with the State Department and the FBI when Robert Mueller was head of the FBI. And, of course, now he's the special counsel. And more, it looks like Donald Trump Jr. got baited into the meeting. They were going to promise him, oh, we're going to give you all this dirt on Hillary Clinton. It's going to be wonderful. It'll help your father win the election. And, of course, when he got into the meeting, there was nothing there. All they had was what was available on the Internet to begin with. And the discussion focused mostly on the repeal of the Magnitsky Act, which was impeding certain Russian businesses. And that was it. There was nothing there. And they're trying to make a big deal about it. They're still pushing this Russia-Trump collusion. Now, getting on back to Haiti, this is really turning into a big stink down there. There is this billionaire named Gary Heaven, and he basically went public with a message to Hillary Clinton because he's very involved down there in Haiti. And he basically comes on out and he says, Hillary, let me give you a word. First of all, I'm wealthier than you are, and here I am with my money, my hands. I'm flying aircraft into these dangerous situations. The head of the Senate here in Haiti said that if the billions you collected for the children here, only 2% got here. You are a grand level thief, and the world needs to know about it. Americans need to know about it. If we dare trust you with anything, we're fools. And you've proven it over and over again. But Haiti, you can't explain this away. Look around. Do you see any Clinton fund trucks or airplanes? They aren't here, and I'm an eyewitness. You have the audacity to act as if you care about people. I know you're a psychopath. And it goes on. And I love this one quote. Every time I put food in the mouths of these children, I think of what a creepy witch you are. Well, Gary, don't sugarcoat it like that. Please tell us how you're really feeling. Meanwhile, story coming on out of Investment Watch blog, The Clinton Cash author Peter Schweitzer has been looking at the books of the Clinton Foundation and says, first of all, they're obfuscated. It's very hard to track where the money is going. But basically, 94% of the money the Clinton Foundation took in just sort of went away. That means only 6% of the money taken in by the Clinton Foundation actually went to any kind of charitable work. The rest was all absorbed by travel expenses and administrative expenses and, of course, media campaigns. Basically, the Clinton Foundation did just enough charity so they could send out camera crews and say, see, we're doing charity. But looking at the official foundation filings, it's only 6%, and to qualify as a tax-exempt charitable foundation, you are required to spend at least 51% of the money that you take in on charitable actions. So under IRS rules, the Clinton Foundation doesn't qualify as a tax-exempt charitable foundation. And at the very least, the Clintons could personally be on the hook for the income taxes of that $2 billion they collected. And this stuff is out there, and it's easy to track down. and the corporate media and members of Congress don't want to be bothered with it because Hillary Clinton is part of that deep state, the narcocracy. And everybody in the corporate media and everybody in the Congress are looking at those piles and piles of rotting corpses, and they don't want to join that particular club. It's rule by terror. Meanwhile, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton has issued a statement in response to a July 13 Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration report, which tried to explain away the failure of the IRS to respond to all of Judicial Watch's Freedom of Information Act requests by saying, well, our records management practices aren't good, and we've got all kinds of lost records, and we can't find them. We don't know where they went. They were on Lois Lerner's hard drive when it crashed, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, Tom Fitton is not buying this, and neither should you. They don't want to turn over the records on how the Obama administration was using the IRS as a weapon. And so it's this whole lost record situation. Yeah, the files are missing. We're sorry. Can't find them. There was a fire or something. The dog ate the data that you wanted. Former House Speaker Dennis Hastert has been released early from a prison in Minnesota. He's apparently under the supervision of a residential reentry management field officer in Chicago, which means he's either at a halfway house or he's in home confinement. So he's not completely free on the streets yet to go out and molest more boys. But he was allowed out early. And it's just another reminder that politics attracts the criminal class. Now that we have the internet and the independent media, Americans are getting a much more accurate look at the reality of their politicians as opposed to this packaged, promoted, advertised, sold imagery of the corporate media. And according to this story over at Zero Hedge, polls are now showing Americans' massive disapproval of both parties. Americans are fed up. They don't want the Republicans. They don't want the Democrats. Everyone understands the federal government has turned into an oligarchy. They're just out there for themselves to grab from you and share with their cronies, and that's it. It's fascism is what it is. And that's why we're being forced to buy products that are unsafe, indeed dangerous. And if not that, they're completely, utterly worthless. Because it's all about the money and everybody getting their share who's on the inside. Okay, let's go ahead and take a phone call here. Tony in Puerto Rico, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, aloha, Mike. I just want to make a quick comment, change the subject a little bit. I want to ask you a hypothetical question. What if the French Art Academy accepted Adolf Hitler as a painter? Will World War II have started?
It's hard to say. Certainly Hitler would not have been a major part of it. I mean, he did serve as a soldier in World War I. But again, if you look behind the official story for public consumption about Hitler invading all these countries, you have to understand that before World War II, Great Britain was planning on getting some kind of a war going to take Germany down, because Germany, with its science and engineering and manufacturing, was proving to be a tremendous challenge to Britain's economic dominance. So I think there probably would have been a war. We would have just had a different villain to boo and hiss at.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right. I'll let you go there. Turning over to the war zones here, civilian deaths in Afghanistan have hit a new record high. Do you realize we have been in Afghanistan 16 years? We have kids just now going into high school who have never lived in a year that we were not at war in Afghanistan. And apparently, according to the United Nations, 1,662 civilians have been killed in the first half of 2017, the highest civilian toll of the entire war. And I'm willing to take a guess here that probably those numbers are low, that they haven't found all the bodies yet. And apparently casualties among women are up 23% and up 9% among children. The slaughter just continues, the slaughter of the innocents, as it were. Now, apparently the Syrian army is now advancing on the ISIS-held town of Sukna, and they're gaining ground there. Apparently pro-Turkish militants will not be able to break the YPG defense without direct assistance from the Turkish army. Turkey's already down there dropping bombs. Now they're making noises like they're going to cross the border into Syria. And again, that is without the permission of the Syrian government. I can imagine Assad is saying there, look, we're going to put stop signs on the border here because y'all keep on coming in and you're not welcome. Now, the other day, we talked about how Benjamin Netanyahu was very upset over this ceasefire deal between the U.S., Syria, and Russia. It's only in a tiny part of Syria, but it was considered a symbolic move toward peace, and it's down toward the south of Syria. And Netanyahu came on out and said, no, we refuse to accept this, which is weird because Israel had no part in this. And then Netanyahu comes out with a list of demands. If you will do all of this, we will settle down and let you go forward with your peace plan, like it was up to him. And, of course, what Israel wants is the Golan. They want it permanently to be part of Israel with all that oil and gas that's underneath it. That's what they want. Well, now, to nobody's surprise, the U.S.-backed terrorists in Syria have come on out and say, well, no, we don't agree with this ceasefire deal at all, and we are not going to comply. We will not abide by the terms of the agreement. So here you have the United States once again playing both ends against the middle. On one side, they're saying, yes, we must have peace, and yet their mercenaries in Syria are saying, no, we're not going to go along with it. So, Huffington Post put up this tragic image. It's an aerial image split into by time. Actually, it's a satellite image before and after showing the destruction of Mosul. And after 9 months of war, there are areas of that city that are completely obliterated. There's nothing left standing. No buildings, no trees, nothing. It's just dirt and rubble as far as the eye can see. And already we can see the money junkies at their banks coming on in and saying, don't worry, we will gladly loan you all the money you need to rebuild the city you used to have at, say, 20% interest. That's why bankers love war so much. Creates debt, creates customers. Now, over in the breakaway republics in Ukraine, the Donetsk People's Republic and the Lugansk People's Republic separatists have gotten together and declared a new country called Malorossiya, or Little Russia. And they're basically saying, okay, this is now who we are and what we are doing. And again, all of this is allowed under the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So immediately France has called on Putin to condemn the creation of Malorossiya. That's not going to fly at all. So now, as you know, China is starting to build some very advanced weapons. And apparently their newest destroyer will be taking part in joint drills with Russia in the Baltic Sea. It's going to be a heck of a trip for the crew of that Chinese ship. They're going to get to see a lot of the world from the deck of their ship. But it signals that Russia and China are pulling together as a unit to be dealt with in the coming world war. Now, the U.S. war planners have been following a policy of just picking off one country at a time and one country at a time and just moving their forces forward. Didn't work out that way because we're still mired in places like Afghanistan and Iraq and all these other places. We're running out of resources. And maybe we could still take on Russia in a conventional war, and maybe we could still take on China in a conventional war. We certainly cannot take them on both at the same time. And I think that is the message that is being sent by Russia and China. Don't think you can come after us one by one. Meanwhile, longtime Clinton ally Paul Begala has come on out and said it's time for a debate if we should just nuke Russia. So Paul Craig Roberts was right. They're actually thinking about this in D.C. We'll be back after these few words. folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, over in Romania, President Klaus Iohannis is out there talking tough, saying that NATO can deter Russia. And he said it in the context of more of these NATO drills in Eastern Europe pushing up against the border with Russia. And, of course, Russia does not want war. They want trade, peace through commerce. Putin is not coming to steal Europe or the United States. He's got enough problems handling Russia. He doesn't need Europe right now. Europe is on the edge of bankruptcy. So is the United States. Europe is in turmoil over the refugees and the migrants. Russia doesn't need that headache. And again, look who is moving up their armed forces to whose border. Russia is not the aggressor here. We're not seeing Russian troops on the northern side of the Canadian border or the southern side of the Mexican border. We're not seeing Russian battle groups sailing around the Gulf of Mexico. We can see with our own eyes who the aggressor is here. And we're not being fooled by this nonsense about Russia's the bad guy, Russia's the bad guy. We can see who the bad guy is. We've been seeing for 16 years who's been actually invading and bombing and regime changing other countries. Now, things seem to be heating up over in Iran. And apparently Donald Trump is out there saying he supports Israel's goal to prevent the Iranian rush through Syria. That's Israel's new thing, that Iran is going to just blow through Syria and invade Israel, forgetting the historic reality that Iran has not initiated a war of conquest in over 200 years. But Israel's starting to talk tough. I think Netanyahu is imagining he's going to evade his public image problems over his corruption trial by getting into some more wars. And he's out there saying that Israel refuses to tolerate Iranian bases in either Lebanon or Syria. So he's out there actually talking about launching these unprovoked attacks into Syria and Lebanon to blow up bases he says are being used by Iran. And maybe they are, and maybe they aren't. It's still an act of war and aggression on Israel's part. Meanwhile, Yellen is saying that the next time they go to war in Lebanon, Israel will destroy their infrastructure. They're just out there throwing the threats around left and right. Another article along the same line from Jerusalem Post: Israel may need to take out Iranian bases in Syria. It's amazing here. Meanwhile, over in Iran, their Aerospace Force Brigadier General Amir Hajizadeh said that all of this focus on Iran's missile power, which is outside the P5+1 deal, it's aimed at weakening the Islamic Republic, of bit by bit trying to politically disarm them, to get them to surrender their weapons. Just give up your guns. We'll take care of you. And how often have we seen how badly that worked here in the United States? And that's exactly what's going on. The United States is getting tired of having to work so hard to conquer all these countries it wants to conquer. Now, yesterday we were getting a bit of a feed that Tillerson was going to come on out with an announcement about Iran and the P5+1 deal. And apparently it was going back and forth and back and forth. And they were out there with this comment here. This came out of the Saudi Gazette. Iran to face consequences for breaching the spirit of the P5+1 deal. Now, this came out just after the IAEA reported Iran is fully in compliance with the P5+1 deal. And now the U.S. wants to make a big stink over Iran's intermediate-range missiles, saying that possession of the intermediate-range missiles has violated the spirit of the deal, whatever the heck that means. Now, at one point, it did look like Trump was going to call off the deal and pull out of it, but apparently there were some very late discussions at the White House, and at the last second, Donald Trump went ahead and recertified the P5+1 deal. So it is still in place, and whatever plans they have for Iran are back on hold. And I'm sure Netanyahu's picking up the phone and screaming at him, "You're supposed to get them for us." And again, we can see with our own eyes, who is the aggressor? Who's the warmonger? We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're talking about Iran, and we're talking about apparently Trump came very close to pulling out of the P5 plus one deal, which would have opened the door to Iran on the basis of its mythical, hypothetical nuclear weapons program, the same excuse they used to go after Saddam Hussein and Iraq. But at the last second, Trump went ahead and recertified. But the propaganda is already gearing up to convince us Iran is a huge and dangerous threat. And over at the New York Slimes, they had this article, Iran dominates in Iraq after U.S. handed the country over. Obviously, from the New York Slimes' point of view, we should never have let go. We worked hard to conquer that country. We should have kept it here. And their entire argument about Iran dominating in Iraq is if you walk into any market in Iraq, the shelves are filled with goods from Iran, milk, yogurt, and chicken, and so forth and so on. Well, I mean, they do share a common border. It's not like they have to pay the shipping to buy American products from halfway around the globe. And after all, after decades of war, brought down on their heads by the United States government, why would anyone in Iraq want to buy anything coming from the United States of America? The New York Slimes is out there with an absolutely fantastical piece of logic saying that the country of Iraq should be buying in American products. Instead, they're giving their money to Iran, and we know Iran will do nefarious things with it. And then they wonder why they're losing readership over there. Now, I mentioned earlier that Netanyahu is still facing this investigation into corruption in association with the deal to buy more of these German Dolphin-class submarines. And apparently Germany has said, we don't want to get tangled up in this. And they have indefinitely postponed the signing of a memorandum of understanding for the next three submarines. In other words, Israel is not going to be getting the submarines until this issue with Netanyahu and the corruption is settled. Now, down in Venezuela, it looks like the regime change the United States government has long lusted for is about to happen. And the U.S. is supporting the right-wing opposition in Venezuela against the socialist government of President Maduro. They've been after Venezuela all the way back to Hugo Chavez. And Venezuela has been subject to economic warfare, destabilization campaigns, the same pattern we've seen in so many other countries around the world. And Donald Trump has gone so far as to declare that he will take strong and swift economic actions if President Maduro goes ahead with plans to create a super legislature in Venezuela known as a Constituent Assembly. It's up for a referendum on July 30th. And so Trump is out there saying, we're going to do more bad things to you if you dare and change your government in a direction that we don't want it to go. And yes, in this area of global hegemonic domination, I am very disappointed. I thought Donald Trump understood that in the long run, this is going to be bad for the United States of America. They're on this plan that cannot be carried through to completion because sooner or later it will bring us into conflict with Russia and China, and we're not going to be able to win that one, even with the nuclear weapons. Now, we are seeing more and more signs over in South Korea. Their new president, Moon Jae-in, is trying to bridge the gap with North Korea. They're already going to have meetings about how to back down along the border to avoid the possibility of a mistake and a misunderstanding. Now they're talking about reunifying the country, at least with the rail systems. They're going to build these rail bridges over the demilitarized zone and start connecting the trains up. And Kim Jong-un has to understand this is going to be an economic lifeline to his country. It's going to make North Korea prosper. It's going to make him look really, really good. And that's what that whole sunshine policy was all about. Meanwhile, they're backing off all the saber-rattling about North Korea in general. Apparently, the vice chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff came on out early today and said, the reality is North Korea does not have the capacity to hit the United States with any degree of accuracy. He's saying, yes, some of their missiles, like the Taipodong 2, have the range. They can't hit the targets they're aiming at. And I certainly hope he's right. But you need to remember all that technology that was transferred into Chinese hands by Bill Clinton back in 1994. How much of that has now been finding its way over to North Korea? And in the age of GPS, building a navigation system that can hit a target with a circular error of probability close to zero is relatively easy. Now, granted, you cannot take a civilian GPS and do it. Believe it or not, there's actually code in all those civilian GPS units in your smartphone. If it's traveling above a certain speed, it stops working, specifically so it cannot be used as a potential terror weapon. But anybody who's got any electronics engineers can build a GPS receiver that doesn't have that restriction. Now, the Navy has unveiled their first, in fact, the world's first active laser weapon. It's actually deployed on a U.S. Navy ship over in the Gulf region, and they put out a video. They gave CNN an exclusive preview or demonstration, and they launched a target drone at the ship, and the laser homed in on the wing and burned the wing off. And it looks really impressive, but that laser had to stay on the exact same portion of the wing for about 3 seconds before it started to burn through. And we're talking about a lightweight drone with lightweight materials, not something that's armored. So it's not an impact kill laser beam. It's not a pulse beam. And their lies its weakness, because we knew the latest generation of enemy threats aren't just going to fly in a straight line and let themselves be lazed. They're going to be jinking. They're going to be moving. They're going to be spinning around. They're going to be going back and forth. I don't think this laser weapon is as effective against aerial targets as they like to claim. Boats in the water, yeah, you can get a good dwell on them. It's a long ways away from Star Wars, as it were. Now, apparently over in Russia, they're getting ready to make a new motion picture about Israel's attack on the USS Liberty. And incorporated into that script is some additional information probably most Americans don't have. Now, you're probably aware that there was a Russian ship that came and offered assistance to the Liberty, and the captain of the Liberty said, thank you, we cannot allow you on our ship because of all the goodies that we have here. But apparently the Russian ship just stayed there until the U.S. forces could arrive. And it was called Operation Cyanide. And apparently the presence of the Russian ship deterred a second effort to make sure the ship sunk. See, that was the goal. Israel was going to attack the USS Liberty. The Liberty was going to sink. They were going to blame it on Egypt. We'd all be off to war on Egypt on behalf of Israel. And we do know there was a submarine that was watching everything going on the surface, the USS Amberjack. And people have been wondering, why didn't the Amberjack try and intervene with the Israeli patrol boats? Why didn't they surface and brandish some guns or something? Well, according to this new information that will be coming out in this Russian movie, the Amberjack was standing by in case the Israeli attack failed to torpedo the Liberty and make sure it went to the bottom. And the only thing that stopped the Amberjack from doing that was the presence of the Russian warship. They knew if they fired the torpedo, the Russians would see what had happened and they would report it to the world. New little factor of the USS Liberty story that's just now coming to light here. All right, let's get on into the economic news here. And once again, the student loan problem is a problem. In fact, it's being described in this article over in my Budget 360 as the student loan tsunami. And it's on the horizon. And apparently, of $847 billion in direct loan program, only $535 billion is actually being paid back on. In other words, almost half of these loans are already in default and not being paid because these kids got lured into college with grandiose promises of high-paying jobs after they graduated, with which they'd pay off those student loans in just a few years. And the jobs weren't there. Higher education, like so much else in this country, it's been turned into a racket. Just another racket to plunge people on that debt hook and turn them into debt slaves. Now, a little bit of good news here. Apparently, they've been playing games with those student loans similar to what they were doing with the mortgage-backed securities back in 2008. And apparently, there have surfaced some paperwork problems. And critical paperwork is missing. They're not able to find who actually owns the loan. Apparently, there was a lot of mass-produced documentation and even some robo-signing going on, like we saw in 2008. And judges have begun dismissing lawsuits by creditors against the students, basically wiping out their debt because documents proving who owns the loans cannot be found. And we're looking at billions in private student loan debt may simply be wiped away, as much as $5 billion worth. And that would be a good thing, I think, for those students because they got suckered. Let's be honest here. They got suckered. They signed those loan documents on the basis of false information given to them. You know, take this loan, get a college education, become an art history major, and you'll have a high-paying job. You'll be making six figures. You'll pay these loans back in 15, 20 years. And it didn't happen. It's another scam in a nation of scams. Under a government of the scammers, by the scammers, and for the scammers. And it's a problem everywhere. Apparently over in Great Britain, Corbyn had made a pledge to clear up the student debt problem during his campaign. And now they've done a U-turn on that one. And people are getting very, very angry They're sick and tired of getting lied to every election season. Now, over at Wells Fargo, you probably remember Wells Fargo. Last year, they got in trouble for creating fake accounts on behalf of customers to churn them and charge fees. And now it's trying to kill a class action lawsuit over shady debit card fees. And there's another issue they're trying to keep a lid on. Well, it's basically called debit card reordering, because you can overdraw your checking account with the debit card the same as you can with a paper check. So let's say you have $100 in your bank account and you make three purchases costing $20, $30, and $110. Now, Wells Fargo will charge you a $35 overdraft fee for taking out more than you have in your account. But Wells Fargo has been reordering the transactions from highest to lowest, putting the biggest charge first so that they could then charge you with three separate overdraft fees instead of just the one. From the $20 one goes through, the $30 one goes through, only the $110 one triggers an overdraft fee. But Wells Fargo has been intentionally putting the largest one first, so that the $20 and $30 ones then generate additional overdrafts totaling $70. Now, you multiply that by millions of customers, and you're talking about serious money. And we have seen reports before where there are some banks that are remaining solvent, literally relying on overdraft fees. The entire economy is being propped up by fraud and bad behavior here. Now, Donald Trump is out there negotiating priorities for NAFTA. Apparently, they're getting ready for a renegotiation of that. They're going to revamp the North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada and Mexico. And here's something I've always been wondering. If trade is really free, why do you need an agreement? Just trade. But these so-called free trade agreements are usually about mandating countries to buy certain classes of products. One of the reasons the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal floundered was that the deal included a ban on GMO labeling, and some of the other potential signatories to the Trans-Pacific Partnership are countries that already ban GMO or at least mandate labeling. And so they dug in their heels, and that was a big sticking point for that. So these really are not free trade deals. They're forced trade deals. Now, up in Alaska, their credit rating has now been downgraded for the second time in a week. Standard & Poor's has lowered Alaska's credit rating just as of today and said the problem is the state's reliance on financial reserves to fund its budget cannot continue. Now, Alaska gets a huge amount of its money from oil revenues, and they do have a huge cash surplus built up. But Standard & Poor's is out there saying the fact that they're using their cash buildup to balance the budget is not proper banking, and so they've lowered their rating. Moody's downgraded Alaska less than a week ago. And it almost seems less like Alaska's really in trouble and more like the ratings agencies are punishing Alaska for having a cash surplus when so few other states actually do. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call. Peter in Dallas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I came across something that I thought was very interesting and sort of put the behavior of liberals in focus for me. Have you ever heard of the critical theory from the Frankfurt School?
A little bit, yes.
Well, the whole idea is, I guess, in communist theory, you had the dialectic materialism, and that didn't seem to work out. The poor people fought all the poor people from other countries in all the world wars, so they came up with a new theory, which is called the critical theory, and basically the idea was for socialism to come into existence, you had to destroy the previous ideology, the previous culture, or capitalism. So basically the idea went with this critical theory that you just attack anything. You just attack anything about the culture. I mean, it has nothing to do with creating anything. It's all about destruction. And this was, all these professors came over and went into our educational system, and it sort of, it seems to me, what's going on now with all the liberals. There doesn't seem to be any discussion. There doesn't... need for discussion. It's just this idea that you attack everything about the society so that it can eventually fall, and then you can build the new one. So it just seemed to explain the behavior of the liberals to me, and I thought I'd just ask you about it.
Well, it is amazing how many of our college students say that they're in favor of socialism, and yet when you ask them, what is socialism and how does it work, most of them don't really have a good idea of what it is. I think a good explanation would be is that capitalism is a good system for a nation with plenty of resources, and socialism is perfect for a country where resources have become severely limited. And that is certainly true here in the United States. But it's true that anytime you want to impose a new social order, you do have to destroy the previous one. You have to sort of divorce the population from that old order. We got to take a break for commercials. Thank you for the call, Peter. We'll be right back.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to take a phone call. Terry in Oregon, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Terry, are you there? Okay, I guess not. So let's get on back to the news here. We're talking. Oh, Terry, are you there?
For me.
Terry, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Okay. I heard that when Johnson heard about the attack on the Liberty, he made a comment that said I want that ship on the bottom of the ocean. And I just want to know, did I hear you right when you said a submarine was standing by to sink the Liberty?
That's the new information that's coming out in this movie about the Liberty that's being made in Russia. Now, the presence of the submarine had already been known, and everybody was saying, why did it not come to the aid of the Liberty? Now we're finding out it had a very good reason. It had entirely different orders. The entire thing was a false flag setup to drag the United States, to drag the American people into a war against Egypt on the side of Israel. And it was a major botch up. And the crew of the Liberty, the first thing that the Israelis did when they attacked the ship is they shot up all the antennas. They were jamming the U.S. Navy's communication frequencies, which tells us right there Israel knew it was an American ship they were attacking. And they shot away the antennas, and one of the crew members was able to rig a jury rig replacement antenna, and they got a message out, we're under attack, and there was a nearby carrier group, I think it was the America, that launched a rescue mission. And Johnson had his SecDef get on the radio and say, you order those planes back. You get them on the deck. And then apparently they tried to launch a second rescue mission. And Johnson got on the phone and said, you keep those planes there. And when it came on out, it was Israel that was attacking the Liberty. And somebody said, what's going on? And the quote that you mentioned was part of a larger quote where Johnson said, I would rather see that ship on the bottom of the ocean than embarrass our ally in the Middle East. And it's an earlier version of 9/11.
Right. But, Mike, that was a U.S. submarine that was going to sink the Liberty. A U.S. Navy submarine is going to sink another U.S. Navy ship. And
yes.
Is that just in the movie, or is there some other documentation on that?
There appears to be some documentation on it, and again, the presence of the submarine was already known about, and everybody was wondering why they did not come to the aid of the USS Liberty, and now we have a really good reason. It makes sense.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike.
All right, you got it. We're going to switch over to Andy. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, hi, Michael. Yeah, no, I think we have a serious problem in this country, and I think it's a major problem. It's called the usurping of our children. You know, I learned certain things in school when I was growing up, and then I found out what they taught me was wrong.
Yes.
And then, you know, up until about 6-8 years ago, I didn't even know that Liberty existed. I didn't know that Lyndon B. Johnson said, I want that GD ship at the bottom of the ocean. I didn't know any of this stuff. And,
no, the job of the school is to teach you what the government wants you to believe is real, just like corporate media, to control what you're thinking. Okay?
Well, and it works perfectly. It works perfectly because...
Not anymore.
Well, you're right.
Stay on the line. We got to do a station identification. I'm going to come right back to you after these few words.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.